We have a video. We'll put that up. We have volume on that. No volume? Okay. Well, maybe we'll watch it later then if we don't have volume on it. Okay. Awesome. So we're going to get into the Word this morning. And as I was just preparing this morning, a couple weeks ago I was talking about fear and faith, and then my wife preached a great message last week. Honey, you did a good job. How many enjoyed what she had to share? Amen, about being precious. Mothers are precious. That was a good word, hon. But so we're going to continue a little bit talking about fear. We're talking about faith. But, you know, I just, the Lord really spoke to me this morning about this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest." Okay? And then it says, "Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." And that's really talking about how the children of Israel, they fell and they didn't enter into rest. And I want to say this is that as Christians, we shouldn't strive. There's so many people strive. Their whole life is about stress. It's about trying to become better. All right? The only striving we should do is that striving to enter into his rest. It's a striving to say, I'm going to strive to make time to spend with God today. I'm going to strive to read the scripture diligently and say, Lord, speak to me. Because you know, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work in our lives. So our striving shouldn't be in our own ability and strength to change ourselves. Our striving has to be in making time for God. Amen? And as a believer, I think that as we mature in God, I want to say this, is that we can get to a place where we enter into rest. The Bible says that God he entered from all his works, or he rested from all his works. Amen? And so as we mature in God, when we move from glory to glory, I believe that as I've grown in the Lord, less and less things really stress me out. Amen? I can endure a lot more heartache and troubles and issues because you learn to rest in God. And I'm not claiming that I've arrived, but I just see that there's light at the end of the tunnel. I can see that the more I spend striving to spend time with God, the more I'm in his presence, the more I study, the more I am diligent to establish a relationship with him, the less pressure I feel in life. How many would agree with that? You think about the times that you're really diligent and you've made the time to spend with God and worship him and just be alone with him and talk to him like a friend, not like a religious Pharisee. Do you know we fall into that sometime? I do. And I begin to pray. And I catch myself. How many know? Like, okay, I'm going to set aside time to pray. And I begin to pray and I'm quoting verses but I'm thinking about something else, but I sound good. I mean, I really do. Like, if I recorded my prayer, I sound like a pretty good preacher. I sound like a good prayer guy. It's like I know what I'm praying. Man, and I'm thinking the devil must be scared because I'm praying good. How many know what I'm talking about? You listen to yourself and you think, but your mind, you're not engaging with God. And I think there's times in our prayer life that we just have to let down the guards with God and say, hey, God, listen, this is where I'm at. Can you speak to me today? When I open the Word today, I don't want to just go through my religious, reading that I do to feel like I got my, my card stamped for being a good Christian. I want you to really speak to me. I want you to change me. I want to know you again. I want to have that intimacy that I once had. And that's why I love David, because when I read about David, I mean, here's a guy, if you read through the Psalms, he just comes and he outloads everything to God. He says, God, my life sucks. Everything's terrible. And, this person treating me bad, my enemy. How many know what I'm talking about? He just lays it out. And then at the end of the psalm, he begins to say, but God, you are my answer. You are my reward. You're my go-to. And he begins to glorify God. And God said, David is a man after my own heart. And do you know what I find that I tend to do? And, sometimes if I'm struggling with something, right, and I just feel like all hell is breaking loose in my life is I tend to maybe go to my dad and say, Dad, I'm going through a hard time. Or I go to a friend, or sometimes I'll go right to the elders. Hey, I'm going through a hard time. What do you guys? And that's okay to go to people. But how about going to God first? You know, isn't that a different concept, right? And I think God wants us to be able to come, shut the door in our room, wherever it is. It might be the throne room, the toilet. It might be your room. It might be a prayer walk. Wherever you connect with God, and just say, God, I need you to talk to me. I'm going through some hard stuff. And you are my, and just pour it out. God wants to hear it. God loves it. He just takes it. He takes it all in, and he says, hey, they're coming to me with their problems. You know? Sue actually didn't go to talk to Janet this time. She actually came to me first. So God's tickled by that stuff. Amen? And when I got up this morning and I talked about the fact that you need to return to your first love, we have a picture of a church here that is doing everything right. They're seeing growth. But the people themselves are no longer connecting to God. They're all principle-based Christians. And principles are good. Amen? But principles without relationship and intimacy, it just is another religion system. How many know what I'm talking about? And many times when we talk to people who aren't saved, we come with the principles of the Word of God, and we say, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, and that's good that we do that, but there's no connection with them. Sometimes I think it's better to come and say, hey, instead of saying, this is the way to do it, this is what the Bible says, sometimes it's better just come and say, hey, let me tell you my testimony. I have a personal encounter with a living God, and this is what God has done in my life. And when I struggle, I can go to prayer, and within a period of time, everything seems to work out, and I really feel God's hand is behind that because of this, this, and this, and this, and this. Amen? How many hear what I'm saying? And I don't know about you, but I want to be the type of person that is walking in intimacy with God all the time. The Bible says Enoch was not, for God took him. Enoch would hang out with God so much and talk to God so much that God one day said, I really like this guy's fellowship. I'm just going to pluck him from the earth and take him to glory. Amen? And I'm telling you, we have the Spirit of God living in us. And this is something that the Lord's been speaking to me about, the importance of fellowship. Koinonia is what the Bible says. Intimate fellowship with God. And with us. And what I want to do is encourage you and stir you up this morning to say, you know, I'm going to pursue fellowship and intimacy with God before anything else. Amen? Everything else takes a back seat to that intimacy that we want to have with God. How many would say amen? So when we get to know God, what happens is, I'm going to read a scripture here, and it's actually First John 4, 17 to 19. And it says this. 1 John 4, 17 to 19. I skipped a ton of scriptures. Just go look for that scripture. 1 John 4, 17 to 19. And it says this. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Say, perfect love casts out fear. So what that means to me is that if you're encountering the perfect love of God, fear just really doesn't have a big place in your life. Amen? We talked about this in our small group the other day. God just downloaded this thought, and it was totally off the notes, and that happens, and that's good. But it was this whole thought about David and how he had that scripture that said, you know, your thoughts are like the sand of the sea. And your thoughts about me are like the sand of the sea. And he begins to talk about how God's thinking about him all the time. See, and I thought to myself, I said, God, give us that revelation. Because I don't know about you, but there's not a lot of time I sit around and think about God sitting around thinking about me. You know, how many remember the first time you fell in love, right, with somebody? Right, hopefully it's this person you're married to today. but you fell in love with somebody. And your thoughts about them would consume you all day long, right? Somehow David understood this, that God sat around and daydreamed about him. how your thoughts are like the sand. You think about me all the time. God, David understood how much God loved him. I've never sat around and thought about how much God thinks about me, but I thought, man, God, if you're thinking about me, no wonder David was able to pick up a stone and go, I'm going to take the giant out today. No wonder David was able to go out and when the king said, go and circumcise 50 men, he comes back with 200 foreskins. He just had confidence. That's gross, I know. And he had faith to just go and do what God called him to do. It seemed like he didn't have much fear in life. Why? Because he was established in the love of God. He understood. And I believe that God's thoughts for us are greater than the sands of the sea. The scripture says he sits around and thinks about us. I think he sits in heaven and says, I can't wait till they die. Because I want to be with them a little closer, you know. That's kind of throws your theology out. I know, I understand. God doesn't want to kill you. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, God, you know, the Bible says, precious is the death of his saints. What does that mean? I mean, God just wants to get closer to us. Amen? Now, I don't believe that in premature death. I just believe that when we pass away, man, we're going to go and be with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? We're going to be with the Lord. God is good. And so, he had a revelation of perfect love. And because he had that, David had that revelation of perfect love, he wasn't afraid of Goliath. He wasn't afraid of the Philistines. He wasn't afraid. And he was able to go out. And when they say, hey, what's up with this? Saul kills 1,000 men and David kills 10,000 men. This guy's got something going on. He was established in the love of God. Because he talked to God like he was his best friend. And that's my question today. Do you talk to God like he's your best friend? Do you have that koinonia, that intimate fellowship portion of your prayer life? And I think that what God wants us to do is not wait for the day of Pentecost to come every year, but to every day have a portion of our prayer time where we can just pour out to God and say, God, this is where I'm at. Help me, speak to me, touch me, minister to me. Relational conversation. It's two-way. Amen? So, when we're established in the love of God, fear loses its power. See, fear will rob the blessings of God from our lives. Amen? Fear actually, fear of rejection, fear of people's opinions of you, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of illness. Whatever the fear is, it'll come and steal and rob from you the blessings of God. Fear stifles our thinking and it stifles our actions. Fear can drive people to destructive habits, cause a worry, anxiety. All these things will cause people to go to different types of addictions to kind of comfort that. Amen? They want to bury that fear and that anxiety. Fear steals peace. Fear steals contentment. But let's look what Jesus says. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 27. Let's look what he says. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave you. John 14:27. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't be afraid. That's what Jesus said. He wants us to learn to live in peace. He wants us to learn to live in that place. And I believe that when we move to when we begin to know God more and more and more and we get to know his presence and we have this relationship prayer time with God, fear begins to lose its grip in our life. Amen? You know, I want to read a scripture here in Mark. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. How many are receiving something from God today? Amen. His word is good. It's like a two-edged sword, and it's able to come in and change us. Verse 35 says, on the same day when evening had come, they said to him, let us cross over to the other side. And now when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in a boat as he was. And the other little boats were also with him. And it says, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And I want to stop there for a second because Jesus, I want you to see what's happening. Jesus is preaching. He's got his disciples. They're ministering. He's tired. He's ministering from day morning to night. He's ministering, praying for people, you know, multiplying bread, doing all kinds of stuff. He's tired, so he's in the boat. They're crossing over to the other side, right? They're crossing over, and he's asleep in the stern of the boat. But suddenly what happens, there's a great windstorm that arises. The waves begin to beat into the boat so that the boat began to fill up. And I mean, I don't know about you, but there are times in our lives when God is trying to take us from one side to the other side, we'll say from glory to glory, and there's this body of water that we have to cross over, and our life is that boat. And the disciples are in the boat, and all of a sudden this big wave, these waves and the storm begins to beat, and the boat begins to fill with water. How many have ever felt like your life, you're trying to get from one point to the next point, and it's like all of hell breaks loose, and all of a sudden it's like your boat is sinking, and you're like, what's going on? And you just don't know what to do. How many have been there? But this is where the disciples were. Disciples are in this boat. The waves are beating, everything is going wrong, they're about to sink, and then all of a sudden they remember, hey, we got someone in our boat with us. Where is he anyway? And they go down, and I don't know how the boat is sinking and Jesus is still sleeping. All right? Maybe he was a hard sleeper, I don't know. He was out. He's sleeping in the boat is sinking. And they awoke him and they said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? I mean, how many times have you had a prayer like that where you're just kind of like, God, don't you even care? My life is going, my marriage is falling apart. My business is falling apart. You know, these situations, my kids, look where my kids are. God, don't you even care? I'm sinking. No one can relate to that? Okay. And Jesus arose. He rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, Peace, be still. So he said, peace come. And look what happened. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, sometimes when we're going through a trial, we have to remember who's in our boat. And we have to take the time to go and wake him up. The Bible says, stir yourself up in your most holy faith. You need to get in before God, and you have to wake him up. You have to say, Lord. See, God loves, and I don't know why he does this, he likes hiding and seeking. How many remember, you know, when you were a kid, let's play hide and seek, and I'll hide first, right? And I remember, I think it was my daughter, she went and hid, Sarah, I think it was, and like we forgot we were playing the game. It was like 2 hours later, and we found her, was it Sarah? I forget who it was. It was one of our kids, anyway. We found him sleeping in a cupboard, like 2 hours later, totally forgot to look for the kid. I think it was Jonas. I can't remember who it was. I'll have to ask him. But found the kid 2 hours later. So the issue is, you know, and God just likes to see sometimes, you know, he's walking with us and we're like, hey, God, we're so aware of his presence. We're so aware that he's with us. And then all of a sudden it's like, where's God, right? And God wants to see if you're going to forget about him and just go and do something else, or revert back to your old ways of dealing with life issues, or are you going to pursue him? And if you'll pursue him, I'll tell you what, he doesn't hide very hard. He's like, hey, I'm over here. You know, how many ever played hide and seek? And I do it with my kids. I get annoyed because they're looking for me, and I'm like, and I'll whistle or something. Oh, I heard a noise. Or, you know, I'll bang the floor or something. And then they start looking. And then they find me quicker, amen? But because my time is precious. I don't want to hide for 2 hours. So I start making noise and they find me. See, God wants you to find him. He desires that you pursue him. He's still with you. He just wants to see. Are you going to have a heart like David and say, I'm going through trials. I this is pressure, so I'm just going to revert. I'm just going to go to the bar. I'm just going to revert back to something else. That's crazy. I know where he is. He's coming down. Or are you going to pursue him in your need? Amen? But look what Jesus said. He rebuked the winds. He said to the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Yeah, I'll tell you a story, okay? I was at a church and All of a sudden, we're worshiping God. The music was beautiful. And I was actually studying this passage of scripture at the time because I was going to minister. I don't remember if I was ministering that day or not, but this was in Kingston. And all of a sudden, there was a big commotion in the hallway, and I could hear people yelling and screaming and praying. And what in the world is going on? And I saw ushers going out, and the whole service was being distracted. And I came out, and there was a young man there who had come in, and he needed deliverance. And he was just screaming and yelling and foaming, and they're trying to hold him down. There's seven people, come out of him, come out of him, yelling and screaming and everything. And I thought, this is distracting the service. There's a great windstorm happening, and it's taking attention away from God. And I came out in the hallway, and I said, guys, I said, move away. And they all moved away. And I just looked at them, and I said, peace, be still. And it just stopped. Everything left. And I got him up and said, come on in and sit and hear the gospel. I brought this young guy in, sat down, and he got ministered to that day. Because we had a whole bunch of people that were in fear going, come out of here. You don't have to do that. You just need to go in the faith of God and say, peace, be still. Amen. And the wind ceased. And that calm was taken care of. Amen. So there was a great storm. And look what Jesus said, verse 40. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So see what he says is, he says, because you're fearful, that's a sign that you don't have faith. You see that? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him? You see, the storms of life will rock your boat, and sometimes the waves, even bigger, big waves, begin to fill the boat. And you might say, my marriage, my job, my teenagers, my plans, it's all hopeless, it's all going to sink. But you need to remember who's in your boat, right? Jesus is in our boat. And he is the peace in our storms. Like, think about that. Imagine you're the disciples, okay? Your boat is sinking, like there's a storm. And you say, Jesus, don't you care? We're perishing. And Jesus looks at you and goes, why are you afraid? They'd be like, hello, the boat is going down, the mast just broke, you know, to see parts of the boat floating away, Jesus. What do you mean, why are you afraid? This is normal. I'm supposed to be afraid in this situation. Everybody would be afraid in this situation. How many know what I'm saying? But Jesus is like, no, don't be afraid, because I'm here. I am here. I'm in your boat. And they had a revelation that day. They said, even the storms, the wind and the waves obey our God. Do you know what I'm saying? And I want to encourage you, maybe you don't know the Lord like that, but I want to say this. It doesn't matter what you're going through. If you'll turn to the Lord and wake him up. Not that he's asleep, but you know what I'm saying? Come to the Lord. He's going to say, don't be afraid. My peace I give to you. And he'll rebuke the storm. And there'll be a great calm that will come over your life. Isn't that good? See, in this world, we will have troubles. We'll have persecution. The Bible says it. Everybody does. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner or a saint. You're going to have problems in this world because it's a fallen and broken world. But Jesus says, what did he say? He said, do you guys remember the verse? Because I can't remember it right now. I'm having a brain. No, he didn't say that. He said, but don't worry. Don't be troubled. I have overcome the world. Isn't that what he said? He said, so you're going to go through trials, but don't worry, I've overcome it. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be fearful. Just cling to me or wake me up in your boat and we'll deal with the issue. Don't be fearful, because fear will rob you of the blessings of God in your life. All right? There's a great calm that's coming. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is living and active, full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's penetrating as far as division of the soul and spirit, and both joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature. I'm reading out of the Amplified. Exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. And I want to say this, the word of God, the word of Christ, speaking under the anointing of the Spirit of God, will go deep. and can deliver you from fear, anxiety within your situation. You know, I know there's times in my life where, you know, my wife and I, like, we were going through a hard time, and we prayed and believed God, and the hard time never left. It was still there for a season of time. It doesn't always happen, right? It takes time. But the anxiety and the fear and the pressure was gone. And it was kind of like we could think straight, and we could begin to trust God. We could begin to focus on the answer instead of being all, "Aah." How many know that's not a good place to live? Amen? So I want to say that this morning, Jesus is not only in your boat, he's in your life. Amen? We're the temple of the living God. And I want to encourage you this morning to stir yourselves up. All right? I had a prophet friend of mine, Kevin Leal, and he used to say, you got a full-grown Jesus living on the inside of you, right? And so wake him up. Wake up the Lord. Wake up. Stir yourself up. Say, Lord, you're here. Wake up. This is my situation, God. And he'll bring peace and calm to every situation that we're dealing with. Amen? And so I want to pray this prayer over you guys this morning. And if we could have the worship team come up and just play something softly, this would be great. I believe that there's some of you in this place, you're going through a trial, you're going through a hard time, and it's very real, we all do. And you're going to come through the other side, whether it's immediately or if it's over a period of time, God will bring you through it. But the key is that God doesn't want you to live in anxiety and fear. He says, my peace I give you, amen? I give you peace, I give you comfort. You don't have to be stressed, you don't have to have anxiety over this thing. Just trust me through the trial, amen? Trust me through the hard times. So I want to pray this. If you want to stand with me, I want to pray this prayer over you guys. If you want to just receive it, just lift your hands and I'll pray this. Father, I thank you, God, that your word declares that there is no fear in love. But Father, your word declares that perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, Father. And I know that there's some of your precious children in this place that they've been tormented by fear of man. They've been tormented by the fear of their kids backsliding. They've been tormented by the fear of hell. They've been just fear all the time has come, Lord. And Lord, this involvement of torment, God, will stop today, Father. I pray that those, Father, here that are struggling in the area of fear, Lord, that your perfect love would come, God. Your perfect love would come this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, because perfect love drives out fear. Amen? Now, I'll say this. If you're living right now and you know you're doing stuff that's wrong, you're doing things that we would call sinful, maybe, you know, you're looking at pornography or you're, you know, stealing or cheating on your taxes, things that are wrong, you need a fear. You need to get right with God. You need to repent. But once you've made things right, you don't have to live in bondage to fear. Fear, perfect love casts out fear. Amen? Hallelujah. So what I'm going to do this morning, I just really want to open the altars for a time of ministry. I'm going to ask if we can have the elders come. If you guys would come and just minister. Peter and Anita would come. And if you guys would come and listen, if you just really feel I need a breakthrough in a certain area, like this thing, I'm tired. I'm going through a storm and I can't find Jesus in my boat. I'm fearful and I just want the fear to lift. And that's you this morning. I want you to come forward and just let the Lord minister to you this morning. And then for the rest of us, if we could end with a worship song, that would be awesome. Amen. Has God spoken to you today? Let me see your hands if the Lord has spoken to you. He's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if that's you, I want to just beckon you to come. Come forward today. Let God begin to minister to you. Say, enough is enough. I want to be touched. I want to find you, Lord, in this situation. Come on forward right now. Come on. Thank you, Lord. And let's begin to worship. And as we do, if you want to come forward, come on forward.